preach the first message in that series of lessons. And we are dealing with the subject of biblical holiness. This is a subject we want to come back to, not just occasionally. Obviously we come back to it occasionally, but we want to come back to it often. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We want to talk about things often that the Bible talks about often.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Amen.
If the Bible discusses a subject often, I think it would behoove us that we would do the exact same thing, and we would dig into that subject, and we would keep it near and dear to our hearts. Now, we live in a society right now that society tries to tell us, though society will readily tell you, and I'm teaching as of now, okay? Society will readily try to tell you that they are not subscribing to Christianity, but they often don't mind telling Christians how we should be Christians. And that don't make a lot of sense, does it? For them to say, we're not a part of you, we don't believe none of that stuff you believe, but we'll tell you how, if you're going to be a Christian, this is the way you should be a Christian. And that makes zero sense because, they don't even believe this book. And I'm not going to somebody who's not an authority in it to get my direction. When it comes to the things of God, we appeal to the authority of the Word of God. First of all, that is the very bottom layer of authority that we appeal to as Christians is the Word of God. And we know that it is important that we rightly divide the Word of God. I had a conversation today with my buddy Alan. He's the superintendent out at our job, and me and him got to talking, and we were talking about rightly dividing the Word of God, and that is to take scriptures and you interpret the Bible with the Bible. Okay, if there's ever anything in the Bible that you don't understand, then you find something that deals with that subject in the Word of God that you can understand, and it will shed light on it, on the thing that you're struggling to understand. Is that you with me there? And what we must be careful is that we don't take scriptures that have nothing to do with each other and try to bring them together and make them say something they don't say. And the example that I like to use when I'm talking about that, there is a scripture in the Bible that says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And then there's another scripture in the Bible in a totally different area that says, go and do ye likewise. If you put those two things together, we've got a problem. That's not what the Bible's telling us to do. You know, the Bible must be rightly divided. And it's why it's so important that we study the Bible in context. And it is important that we as preachers preach the Bible in its context. I don't want to just take something out of here because it seems to sound good. I want to preach it the way that the Lord intended it to be understood. All right? I don't want to be a workman that needs to be ashamed. I want to be one that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have this very, very, very important thing. That's all right. I got distracted for a moment there. Everybody together now? All right. We have this responsibility to make sure that we do this right. And so we take subjects in the Word of God, and we delve into those subjects because we want to bring them into our hearts. We want to bring them into our lives in a way that will, everybody say, transform us. We really do want to be transformed by the Word of God. And I think that is the sticking point for much of Christianity today, is that we're dealing with a brand of Christianity in the era in which we are living that is a Christianity that has no power to transform anybody. It is a kind of Christianity in name only, but it is not Christianity in reality. Because in order for it to be something in reality, it must affect us, transform us, and change us. If the gospel has no power to change us, the gospel has no power. But the Lord strongly desired change in the lives of his people. And that's why he told the apostle Peter, he said, Peter, when you are converted, in other words, Peter, you are not yet what I know you shall be. Otherwise, he would not have said, when you are converted. Peter, there's going to come opportunity in your life for transformation to take place. And as the transformation takes place, it is going to lead to a true conversion experience. Now, one of the things we've got to make sure that we do is that we never stop short of a true conversion experience. Don't stop while God is still moving. Don't put on the brakes while God is saying, come on, we still have places to go. Let the power of the gospel become this change agent in your life that brings about in you the things that God desires to see happen in you. God loves us far too much to leave us the way that he found us. He loves us far too much to leave us and say, you just go back to the way you were, and I did this thing in you where I touched you in a moment, but now we're just going to leave all that and you just go back to who you were. That would be the most foolish thing in the world. He doesn't leave us as he found us. He leaves us better than he found us. And that's why. That is why when the Lord spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to take a trip and you're going to go down to the potter's house. And I want you to just observe what he does. And so Jeremiah the prophet goes for this illustration, this lesson the Lord is going to teach him. And by the way, just to let y'all know, I dressed up tonight too. I'm Mr. Rogers, apparently. It was unintentional, but it happened. I figured if they was doing it, I could do it too, so. Anyways, back to the Ponderosa. Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and he is there simply as an observer. The Lord says, I want you to watch what happens, what he does. And so, as Jeremiah watches, the potter takes this piece of clay, and he begins to make it, and he begins to mold it, and it's going to become something. And listen, those of you that ever feel like you've messed up and you feel like maybe you lost the opportunity to do something that God had wanted you to do, listen very carefully to what happens here. As the potter is making this vessel in his hands, the Bible said that the vessel became marred in the potter's hands. In other words, issues began to arise with the vessel. And so Jeremiah, as he pays attention to this and he sees what is happening, because the Lord has told him, watch this close. As he sees what is happening and the vessel is in the process of becoming, all of a sudden it begins to fall apart. It's not coming together like it should. It's no fault of the potter. It's simply there was an imperfection in the clay that had to be worked out. And so instead of the potter taking the clay and saying, well, that didn't turn out the way I was making it, I'm just going to throw it away, the Bible said he just took it and made it over. So let me stop for a moment and say, for anybody that ever feels like they've made a mistake and you've not been what you could have been, what you should have been, what God wanted you to be, if you'll just put yourselves back in the hands of the potter, he's not going to throw you away. He'll make something else. He'll make something else. Aren't you glad to know that? Anybody been a beneficiary of that? Hallelujah. And so he's making, and so another vessel begins to be created. And here's the point that I want to make. The clay in its unshapen form was not useful to the potter in the sense of a finished product. It wasn't useful to anybody. Nobody could go there and say, I need a cup, and the potter say, here's some clay, because it wouldn't have held anything. I need a platter to put some food on, and the potter say, well, here's a lump of clay. It would have been no good in for use in those circumstances. So it has to be transformed. And in order for us to really begin to do the will of God, the purpose of God that the Lord has planned for us, because he has a predestiny in mind for every one of us, in order for those things to begin to come about, we must be in the hands of the potter, and we must allow him to shape us into what he wants us to be. Now, sometimes that's going to hurt. Can anybody in here testify with me that it has hurt at times for the potter to shape you? There's been days that it was not an easy thing that I dealt with, because there was something happening that the potter saw something in me that was not right, and instead of throwing me away, he began to remake me into something else. And those days can be hard, because none of us like to see shortcomings. None of us in here are probably excited about dealing with all of our failures. And so sometimes we look the other way. Or sometimes we blame somebody else. Well, I'm doing real good right now, aren't I? And we don't like all of that. And yet if the Lord has something in mind for us, and so we've got to stay in his hands. We've got to go through this process. We've got to deal with the uncomfortableness. And that is what this series really is all about. This series is a part, if we could see in the Spirit, in some part, what God is doing through this series I'm teaching, is he is taking us, and he is molding us, and he is shaping us. And you're going to hear things in this. I hope all of us felt something in this room on Sunday that caused us to feel like and know, you know what, there's some adjustment needs to be happening in my life. Was I the only one? I hope all of us felt, you know what, there's some change that needs to be made in my life. And so through this, God's going to deal with all of us. He's going to deal with all of us. The natural question, once we are saved, it becomes, now that I am saved, how should I live? How should I live? Of course, we're dealing with the subject of holiness. We have been bought, the Bible said, I preached to you about it Sunday, we have been bought with a price. Matter of fact, do you mind to pull that scripture up for me? Bought with a price. Just search that. And Paul goes on to tell us that we are to glorify God in two different ways. In two different ways. I just threw him a curve, so y'all give him a moment. Well, give me the first one. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, that's outward, and in your spirit, that is inward, which are God's. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. When I was saved, God purchased me. When I was saved, God redeemed me. He bought me to himself. I don't belong to myself anymore. That's why he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, you've got to glorify God. Now, let's focus on that. Glorify God. I think that's the part that naysayers miss right there. Therefore, glorify God. They don't look at holiness, the people who are anti-holiness, they don't look at it as an opportunity to glorify God, and therein lies the problem. They look at holiness as a set of rules or regulations or can'ts or laws or don'ts, and that's really not what this is about. This is about an opportunity to bring glory to an awesome God. It's about an opportunity to glorify a holy God. And so this is what the Lord desires of us. And we are not of the mindset of people that we take parts of the Bible and take them, and then there's other parts of the Bible that we discard. We take the whole counsel of God. All right? So the question is now, since I'm saved, how should I now live? Now, you should live a life of holiness. That's how you should live. Holiness is not given to us to make us have a buffer from sinners. Holiness is not given to us so that we will walk around and tell everybody, you just stay a little bit away from me. There were those in the Bible, if you had leprosy in Bible days, when you came into proximity, you were supposed to stay outside of the city. And you were supposed to be in designated areas that you could go. But if there was a reason that you had to go near other people who did not have leprosy, one of the things you had to do as you came through is you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And the reason you cried out unclean was because you had to make sure that the people who were ceremonially clean didn't get near you, because if they got near you, now they become unclean. And there's a whole process they'll have to go through to get clean again. And so those clean people tried to make a wide loop around the unclean. And you know, you stay over there. I'm clean. You're unclean. You go outside the city. I'll be in the city. You go out. And if I've got to go here, you go there, because I don't need you to be too close to me. And that's not what holiness is about. Holiness isn't about trying to keep everybody else at arm's length. Holiness is about us being like Jesus Christ. So that is why there is this pull for us to have a transformation. In light of my response to the gospel, what about me should change? What about me should change? So, let's talk about how change happens. Change happens from the inside out. Everybody say the inside out. Growth, transformation, change, it happens from within to without. Consider the seed. And I wish I would have brought one of those little plants that the kids have done with me. But we take those seeds. Any of y'all had to do science projects? Let's back that up. How many of your kids had to do a science project? Right? And as your school this year, we're homeschooling this year, and I think Anna's doing and Ella's doing the same curriculum. There's like a ton of projects and experiments in this curriculum, and I'm about tired of it. And my daughter's had some, and she's all about, you know, doing experiments. And thank y'all so much for giving her Sunday as part of their appreciation. She was given the gift of a microscope, and I want you to know that when we got home on Sunday, Dad was having to get that microscope set up because she was ready to go to work. she's been really getting after it. But they have those seeds, and you take the styrofoam cup and you put the soil in it, and you drop the seed down in there, and you put it in front of the window in the kitchen, and you water it and all of that stuff. And when you put it in there, there's nothing, right? the seed is actually hidden from view. It's hidden from, you can't see the seed. It is completely enveloped in the dirt. And all you see is a cup of dirt. But we know that if we wait long enough, and if we're faithful with to make sure that the seed has the right conditions, we know that eventually there's going to be a little seedling start making its way up through that soil. Let me deal with the conditions. If you're going to grow in God and have transformation, you've got to make sure that you expose yourself to the right conditions. You can't not do that and expect to have growth in your life. None of us go from A to Z. I've been alive 39 years now, and I have seen people go from infants to adults over a long period of time. But I never saw an infant become an adult overnight. What happened? That infant was given the opportunity to grow over time. And as parents, we try to expose our children to the right conditions so that they can grow up healthy, and they can grow up learning the things they need to do. I mean, anybody else still mad at those teachers who told us that they had the gall to tell us that when you grow up, you're not going to be walking around with a calculator? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I happen to carry a calculator everywhere I go now. You know, they told us all these things that, you know, you never, but we sent them to school. And I remember waking up some mornings and not wanting to go to school. Remind me that I'm talking about conditions when I lose my thought here in a minute, okay? I remember waking up, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't think school had anything to help me learn. You know, I thought I knew it all. I had it down, buddy. I was ready for life. Bring it on. And I used to tell the young people when I was a youth pastor, one of these days you are going to beg to be able to go back to being in school. We've lived long enough to see that happen. Had some of them telling me the other day they wish they could. And so, you know, my parents would make me go to school anyway. My son, you know, thinks right now that math is the most ignorant thing ever perpetrated upon humanity. But I was telling him the other day, I said, son, he's doing algebra. I said, I just used algebra the other day. I know this is going to shock some of y'all. Someone was asking me questions about square footage on the new building and different things. And so I went and I started making angles and you know, some of the stuff's not perfect squares, and I was having to draw lines and figure out how far that was, and I was able to do that with algebra, believe it or not. And I was kind of proud. Thank you. I was kind of proud of myself for being able to get there. So I was telling Asher, I said, son, I used this just the other day. And I said, you are going to have to do this. There's going to be times it's going to call for it. And he's aggravated. And one of the things I get onto him about real strong, because when I was growing up, my brother can tell you, my dad had like my dad does not write in cursive, but he has like the perfect handwriting. And it's like a typewriter. Yeah, I mean, he just like perfect handwriting. And so that was always my standard in my mind, is I wanted to be able to write as well as my dad. And I was looking over some Asher's work, and I was less than pleased with his handwriting. And I told him, I said, son, let me tell you, one of these days you're going to be working for people, and there's going to be jobs, and you're going to be trying to impress folks, and you need to be able to write clearly and legibly, and it says something about you to have good handwriting. I might be preaching to somebody right now. I don't know. I said, you need to give it your best. I said, learn it now while you're young. how to do this, and you know, I don't know why I got to do this, and because my wife will tell you, I'll make him erase stuff. I am a mean dad. No, I'm a good dad. I'm a mean teacher. That's what it is. And so I'm like, I erase all of it and write it again. And I'm probably tailing off on myself a little bit. But and so he has to erase some of that, and he has to write it down again and until I'm happy with it. And that's why he likes his mom to check his work and not his dad to check. She's a little kinder teacher than I am. She's the good cop. I'm the bad cop. And the point that I'm making with all that is all these things that he thinks he doesn't need, he really does need, because it's going to make him part of the adult who he's going to become one of these days. And all of these things are going to play into who he becomes. All right? The things that you think don't matter right now, you look back and you say, they really do matter. They really did matter. You know, that was more formative than I realized it was. And so while the seed is down in the ground, we've got to expose it to the right conditions so it can become all it's supposed to become. That's the point I was making there. So we're trying to do that with our children, right? If we do that with our kids, and if we do that in our own attempts as adults to be successful, why on earth would we not do that in our walk with God? I want to put myself in an environment where I can become that which God wants me to become. That is why we come to church. Are you saying that, you know, just being here is what makes us? No, that's just being here alone is not what makes us, but it is a part of what makes us. What I preached Sunday morning, there was conviction that moved in this house. That is part of what makes me what I need to be. What you're hearing tonight is teaching. It is part of what makes us what we need to be. And it's good when teaching and preaching happens in the context of other people, because it helps us to come together in unity and in one accord. And it brings everybody together on the same page. And when people get together on the same page, that is when God tends to do His best work. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And God begins to move in, and something supernatural begins to happen. And so it's important that we come together on these issues. So holiness is an issue we've got to come together on. We've got to get this together. We've got to have this right. And so the seedling is down in the dirt, and we're giving it the right conditions. And so we're making sure there's sunlight, there's water, there's air that's flowing around it. And so we come to church, and we pray, and we study the Word of God, and we pray, and we worship, and all of these things. Are y'all okay right now? I told you I'm working my way through this series, so I'm not in a hurry, okay? I went home Sunday after we had eaten, and one of the ministers that has had tremendous impact in my life, matter of fact, he was preaching when the Lord called me to preach, is Anthony Mangan. And just a passionate preacher. And one of the things I always enjoyed about him is that when he was done preaching, he made me want to live for God more. He just had a way of drawing something out of you. And so this past Sunday was his last Sunday as senior pastor at the church he's pastored for like 35, 40 years. And it was his final Sunday as pastor. And so he preached a message, and you know, they had really built it up. This will be his pastor's final message as our senior pastor. And I will confess that I fell asleep halfway through it. Does that make some of y'all feel better? Brother David? He told me tonight, he said, I've had a long day. If I fall asleep, please don't wake me up. uh, I'd had a long day too. And so I had gotten home, I'd sit down in my recliner, and I was watching that service and that message, and he's had such an impact in my life. And I woke up towards the latter part of it, and my wife came in the room, and we were watching it together, and we were moved, and we were crying, and I told her, I said, isn't it amazing? I said, here he is preaching his last message as senior pastor. I said, but what he's preaching as his last message as senior pastor is the exact same thing he preached as his first message as senior pastor. You know what he was preaching? He was preaching prayer. He was preaching worship. He was preaching doctrine. He was hitting all the same things that I promise you that he hit, because I've read the transcript of his first message from all those years that he preached all those years ago. He was preaching basically the exact same thing. He just gave it a new title. It was the same thing. And I told my wife, as we're sitting there crying as we watch it, I said, isn't it amazing that what really matters has never changed? What is most important is still, what was most important is still most important. And so let me tell you something about growing in God. What was important is still important. And it will always be important. We'll never graduate beyond going back to these basics. So we've got to grow, and we're trying to get the conditions right. And that's what he was preaching to their church. Keep the conditions right. Pray. When you come here, worship. Sometimes you may feel like we push you a little bit hard to worship. We're going to keep pushing to worship because something begins moving when we start worshiping God. This church has been a worshiping church. We're going to continue to be a worshiping church. Sunday, I pushed us in the altar time, and we kind of pushed and stretched, and I'm glad we did because something else happened when we did. But if we would have done what our flesh was going to do, we would have prayed a little bit and left. But what do? Why? We're trying to make sure the conditions are right for transformation to happen. And so eventually the seed starts growing. But it's amazing that seed is growing inside long before you ever see it outside. Long before the shell ever begins to break open. Y'all ever looked at them as they're in process? Before that ever happens, it's growing inside, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting stronger, and eventually the shell can't contain it any longer, and it pushes its way out, and as it does, it starts reaching up, and before long, you've got something beautiful that's growing up, and you say, I would have never known that could be in there. What happened? Transformation is what happened. But in order for the transformation to happen, the conditions have to be right. So I am going to preach to this church tonight and say, keep your conditions right. Be here. Preach with the preacher. You're preaching with me tonight. Preach with the preacher. There is something so wonderful about when the anointing comes off of the pulpit and hits the pew, and then it bounces back off the pew back up to the pulpit. Brother Tom Foster said it's like tennis. He said I put something out there, and you grab a hold of it, and then you send it back to me, and then I get that and I send back to you. And he started talking about how when he's preaching, if the congregation will be with him, it pulls stuff out of him he didn't even know he had. I have found that to be true. Some of the greatest services we've ever had in this church, folks, I'm telling y'all, it probably, if it blessed you, it probably wasn't in my notes. No, it might have been in there, but it probably wasn't in there. What happened? Something got pulled out of me. I didn't know I was going to say that. But something about your hunger reached out and grabbed something that God was doing, and it pulled a word from the Lord out of my mouth. And I've said things in this pulpit I didn't know I was going to say those things. It was something God did. And that's why we've got to, when we come here, we've got to be ready to pull and grab a hold of what God wants us to get up. When I've been in counseling sessions, I've had stuff get pulled from me. I didn't go to school for that. Preachers are supposed to be a lot of things, I found out. Supposed to be bankers and lawyers and teachers and psychologists and all kinds of stuff. There's always something. And I'm going to give it always my best, but let me just tell you, there's no way to train for all of that stuff. We depend on the transforming power of the Holy Ghost to have its way. And so when you come here trying to pull something from God. When you come here worshiping the Lord. Come here lifting Him up. When you come here ready to respond in an altar. Not be focused on getting to a restaurant, but ready to respond. Why? Because God's trying to affect change in my life. Y'all all right tonight? Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are, he's talking about his words. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got to keep your heart. Listen to the word of God and keep your heart. Because out of your heart are going to flow all the issues of life. And so if I want holiness to have its way in my life, I've got to make sure that I'm keeping my heart with diligence. Because holiness is going to begin in my heart. Here's how it's going to happen. God is going to begin to change my mind about some things. That's how it happens. And just a little interesting lesson for you. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking usually about the mind. Okay? We tend to make the heart a very emotional thing. The Bible's saying, you better keep what you're dwelling on, you're thinking on. As a man thinketh in his heart. Does that make sense? Okay, so it begins in here. And so God begins to work on me. And we hear messages like we've been hearing. And we're going to continue to hear. And what I need you to do is we're going through these messages. He's going to start dealing with you in your heart. And you're going to find yourself driving down the road and you're going to be having a conversation with yourself. And when it happens, I hope you remember this moment. You're going to be driving down the road and you're going to have a conversation with yourself. You're going to say, you know, I wonder if there's some things in my life that probably not quite what pastor's trying to teach us right now. I wonder if I need to make any adjustment in my life. What's going on there? There's something happening inside. God's trying to begin, conviction has come, and now God is trying to let transformation take place. So he has put a seed in you, and we're going to call it the seed of holiness. And God has put a seed of holiness inside of you, and he says, I want to see that grow. And so he is for you, right? He is giving you every opportunity for that thing to flourish. And so one of the ways that's going to happen is he's going to begin to deal with you in your heart. And don't just shrug that away. Don't just try to reason that away. But when God begins to deal with you, I pray that everybody in this room recognizes that's not just me. That's God having a conversation with me. That's not just me talking to myself. That's God trying to talk to me. And as he begins to talk to you, let that thing begin to grow and have that conversation with the Lord. Because God's not out to beat you up. He's sure not out to hurt you. He only wants what is best for us. It's not God that we're really fighting with. It's self we're fighting with. That's our biggest problem, is self. Keep your heart with all diligence. So be careful. Be careful what's getting in your heart, what you're dwelling on. Be careful what you're allowing to consume your thoughts. Be careful. Keep it with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can't dwell on carnal things and expect to have a spiritual experience. You can't give yourself to carnality and expect to see spirituality begin to grow. I'm not talking about getting off balance. I'm talking about being balanced. Typically, and there are some who get so off balance that they're chasing spiritual things. They see devils behind every bush. And I'm just going to tell you that stuff, when everything is super spiritual, something's not right. Okay? God knows we're dust. He expects us to live in this realm that we are in. We are to be led by the Spirit. But that's not as, here we are around Halloween time. It's not spooky to be led by the Spirit. It's the most natural thing in the world to be led by the Spirit. For me, being led by the Spirit, my wife has said it before, Brother Childs, I believe it was, that said it when he was here. I think the best way to say it is it's a knowing. It's just like a knowing that I have. It doesn't feel odd. It's just things that I feel like I know. And so we're following the Spirit, and don't give yourself to carnal. If you're dwelling on carnal things, you will be a carnal person. But we're trying to get to holiness, because we've been bought with a price. Because the hand of God is on us. Because God is ordering our steps in His Word. Because God has given us His Spirit, whereby He will lead us and guide us. We've got to let this growth happen from the inside out. So God begins to change your mind. And as He begins to change your mind, what He has changed your mind about, in other words, He's affected you inwardly, you have to begin to let what He is doing inwardly express itself outwardly. Because anything that God does inwardly will find a way to manifest outwardly. Likewise, anything that the enemy can get into you inwardly will find a way to manifest outwardly. So we want to allow this inner work to have its way in us. And we want it to just grow. We want it to affect everything we touch. We want it to affect everything we do. It is something that begins on the inside, but it finds its way out. Are y'all with me tonight? Can we just thank the Lord for that work that He does? Just give Him some pray and give Him some praise right now for it. Love the Lord. Whatever you are connected to becomes your source. It is impossible for the body to be disconnected from the head and have life. If we are disconnected from Christ, who is our head, then we find ourselves in spiritual death. We've got to be connected to the Lord. Environment. Giving ourselves the correct things to grow with. If we're going to be connected to Him, then it will demand separation from the world. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. Please do not think that you are the exception to the words of Jesus. Nobody in this room is the exception to the words of Jesus. Well, I can do this thing and it not affect me. baloney. Okay? I'm sure there's stronger words I could use, but I wouldn't want to offend anybody, so baloney will be it tonight, all right? You are not the exception. Would you just say that with me? Say, I am not the exception. You are not a super Christian and living according to the ways of God is for all the weaker people. If you are going to be connected to Him, it will demand separation from the world because you can't serve two masters. If any man loved the world, the Bible said, the love of the Father is not in him. So if your love is for the things of this world, the love of God is not in you. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. I know you won't hear that preached many places probably today, but it's still truth and it's still the Word of God. You cannot serve two masters. You have to give yourself to one. Either we're going to be connected to Christ and dead to our flesh, or we'll be connected to the world and we will be dead to the Spirit. And don't fool yourself thinking that just because you came to church and had an experience and talked in tongues, that that is what makes you continually connected to God. Us Pentecostals better wake up to the realization that just because we were filled with the Spirit does not mean that the Spirit is abiding in us. Somebody say amen. Just because you talked with tongues does not mean that the Spirit of God is abiding in you. Let me tell you how we know the Spirit is abiding in you. Transformation. The fruit of the Spirit begins to develop in your life. You used to be down all the time, but now you got joy. And you used to, your life used to be in chaos, but now you've got peace. And You used to be radical in the ditch on your thinking, but now the Lord has brought balance into your life. And you used to not have any patience, but now God's given you patience. And how many know that's the one we're all kind of working on still? Y'all keep praying for me. Now, just pray for me. Don't pray that God would give me more patience, because I don't need Him sending me more stuff to develop my patience. I'm trying to make it as it is. But we're trying to let this, we've got to let this abiding presence of God have its way in our lives. And so for the Pentecostals who think that God's affirmation of you is that you can come to church on Sunday and shout, or talk in tongues, and that makes everything okay, that's not how it works. Do not neglect the goodness of God that's happening to all of us in the same room. Don't equate that with God's approval of what's happening in your life. And don't think just because you came down and you got such a blessing that means God's approving of some things in your life. That means God was giving you an opportunity to make some change in your life. And He's trying to help you by giving you His Spirit to help bring you into that. Don't walk out of here and lay that down. Is this good teaching tonight? We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's where we're starting, in our spirit, which are God's. So let what God is doing on the inside, let it begin to move around in there and let it begin to work. I'm not asking you for overnight change. I'm asking you to let God work in your life. I'm not asking you to just agree with me about everything. I'm asking you to have conversations with God and get in His Word and let God change your mind. I can't probably change your mind, but He can. So we let these things move in us. Amen? I'm going to stop there tonight. I'd like us to stand together right now. And I want us to pray. And we're going to pray for ourselves, okay? This is the prayer I would like for you to pray. That God would help you to recognize when He, through His Spirit, is trying to have conversation with you and transform you. That's what I want us to pray. Sometimes these moments can just pass us by and we're so busy we don't realize what God is doing. The Bible said that the disciples were out on the sea and they were in a storm and the Lord came walking by and He would have passed them by. That's what the Bible said. He was there, He was present to help, but He would have passed them by if they had not called to Him. And so there are times they recognize, they looked up and somebody thankfully recognized there's Jesus. So there are times that the Lord comes walking through life. And you could be driving down the road, you could be sitting at your desk, you could be in the middle of a conversation with somebody else. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking by. And I'm praying that you recognize when He does. And you stop Him and you say, "Hey, Lord, come over in here with me and let's talk about this thing that I can tell you're dealing with me about." Would you pray that with me? In the name of Jesus. Lord, You are so good to us that You help us through these things. You really do give us the grace to get through all of these circumstances of life, to deal with all of these issues such as holiness. You give us the grace to walk through that. So, Lord, I'm praying that for me and everybody else in this room, everybody that'll watch this message, I pray, God, that when You come walking by and You're there to help us and You're there to be a blessing to us and help us navigate these uncharted waters that we're in, I pray that we would not be so busy we wouldn't see You. We would not recognize You, but help us to see You, God. That we could invite You to come in as we make that, as we're sitting at that table and You come walking by. That we would invite You to come sit down with us and discuss these things with us, God. That Your Spirit could begin to help change us from the inside out. One more thing I want us to pray. Is there anybody in this room that if Jesus walked in this, think about it. Don't answer just flippantly. Listen. Is there anybody in here that if Jesus walked in here in the flesh tonight, and you knew it was Jesus, if He walked up to you and said, "I want you to do this," is there anybody that wouldn't do that? Probably not. Is there anybody that would want to do that? Signify it with a raised hand. Would you do that? If Jesus walked in and said, "I need you to do this," you would do it. Okay. Pray this prayer too, and then we'll be done. But I want you to pray that if there's anything that Jesus wants from you as we're going through this series, that you will be open and that you will be willing to do what the Lord asks of you. Is that fair? I think sometimes we try to get these things we think everything's going to happen in a moment. I want you to wrestle a little bit with some of this. And I want the Lord to deal with us and us hear His voice clearly enough to hear Him ask something of us. Let's pray that prayer. God, if there'd be anything that You want to change in my life, I'm going to be willing to allow that change to happen. I'm not going to try to talk myself out of it. I'm not going to try to combat it. Lord, if there's something You're dealing with me about, it's affirmed in Your Word, then I'm praying, God, that You show me that, because I'm willing to make the change if that's what You desire. I want transformation. I want transformation. I want Christ to be formed in me. I give myself to You, Lord. Could we just clap our hands and give Him thanks? Hallelujah. Oh, I love You. I thank You. Thank You for being here tonight. We straggled in tonight, didn't we? Thank You for being here tonight. Please, please be meditating on these messages. the things we're talking about. Be meditating on these things. I just feel, tonight I felt something in my spirit of the Lord just saying, I'm getting ready to do a great work. I feel that in my spirit. The Lord is getting ready to do a great work. In Jesus, anybody receive that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's do it with a shout. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I glorify you. And I thank you for what you're doing. Going to be a great work. God bless you. Please remember Sunday, life classes at 10:15, worship at 11. Going to be a great, great day. And I'm excited about it. We'll see you then.